Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome. This is Dr. Michelle. You're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. We're walking this road together. You can call me 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4, and on the phone, you can remain anonymous. You can also email me, Dr. Michelle Live at breadboxmedia.com. That's DrMichelleLive at breadboxmedia.com. Anything you write can be confidential. You can certainly let me know in the body of your email how much you want to be shared on the air, if anything. If you want it to be just put it out into the general public in a very general way, if you want some specific addressing of your particular situation, that's all good too. We've done it so many different ways. Oftentimes people with the more sensitive subjects prefer to have it just approached in a general way. And in that way, I try to bring an overview of the whole problem and at the same time bring in very specific things so that we can address them and you can hear them and perhaps start on your own path to healing and recovery. You can also be assured that when you email me at breadboxmedia.com, Dr. Michelle Live at breadboxmedia.com, that it goes right to me. So it's not just out there laying around somewhere for everyone to look at. So again, my email address is drmichellelive at breadboxmedia.com, all lowercase, no periods, DrMichelleLive. And we are going to be getting a little bit shorter email address sometimes. All right, at some point. We've been talking yesterday about abused boys. When boys are abused, and when those boys who are abused grow into men. We don't talk about it as much as we need to unless there's a huge scandal that comes about, as did happen in many churches. Catholic was the highlight. It's big, it's vast, all worldwide, millions of people. But that abuse for both girls and boys, men and women, occurs throughout the world. But we see these scandals that come up because of the incongruity. So that if something is stating and purporting to be one of virtue, an institution of virtue and godliness, and then turns around and abuses its own children, that's a pretty nasty thing. And I will never back down from that viewpoint. Not just is it a very nasty thing, however, it turns many people. I was just reading this morning that if you turn one of these little ones away from God. And how do you do that? But then to be the representative of virtue and the word and supposedly putting yourself up higher than the others around you by virtue of your vocation, it's just understood. And then you harm someone through sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental or emotional abuse. It's a pretty nasty thing. So, and you evidently, biblically, are held responsible at the end of your days. So, and usually during your days as well. So we really need to take all of this very seriously, whether we like to think about it or not, whether we want to think about it or not, whether it'll make us look like we're dissenting or not. We have to take all of this seriously. And just because the scandal broke and it involved decades of abuse, it's not over. It didn't just go away. It didn't just dissolve. So we have to be ever vigilant. We have to protect each other. We have to protect God's body. And we have to protect the growth of those who we are charged to take care of, our little ones. So why don't we talk about boys being sexually abused emotionally abused or physically abused as much as we do little girls. Now, not to take anything away from little girls, I was a little girl, so and I certainly have my own rough spots from things that occurred to me throughout my entire life because of my family of origin, as I know you do too. Some more or less, some scratch their heads and think, well, I don't even know what you're talking about. And you can listen further, because sometimes we're in such strong denial that we don't go there in our own minds. Or if this just isn't for you, then you can always listen tomorrow. But today we're going to talk mainly about abused boys and why we don't talk about abused boys. Well, one of the things is that in a very male-dominated society, which we have had, and which, even though with all the feminism and all the things that have occurred throughout the birth and life of this nation thus far, we really are a male-dominated society. And part of that male-dominated society is the culture or enculturation of what it means to be a male. So you men are battling, just as we women do, but you men are battling every single day the enculturated, the embedded definition of what it means to be a male, a little boy, and a man in this society, in reality. We almost look at it, we do look at it as just period, how to be a man, how to be a woman. That's defined for you from the minute you come out of the womb, actually before you come out of the womb. It has been shown and quoted, and I think it was the Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood is an organization that has a website. I don't know if they still do. I think they do. Where they quoted a CEO of a major corporation who said that we don't just target babies, we target embryos, meaning we've got you. We've so indoctrinated your parents that before you're just when you are just conceived, we're already marketing to you. So that is exactly the same way that our idea of what it is to be a man and a woman comes about with us. Take a look at, this is getting a little off the subject. I want to go to why boys are abused and we don't talk about them. So just suffice it to say that your culture dictates what you think women are. And just look at a physical attribute and look at it across the board around the world and realize that not everybody could make billions of dollars in pornographic material featuring certain body parts that we in the United States, just the vision of them or seeing, spend billions and billions of dollars of augmenting and showing out in the world. I won't get very specific depending on, because I don't know who's listening to this at this point, and especially with this particular subject matter. But the point is that there's no reason why we get fixated on something except that we are indoctrinated into it, period. That's why we think something looks good. That's why we like fashion. That's why we look at hairstyles of the 80s and say, what were we thinking? But then we thought it was really gorgeous and awesome and sexy, and that's what we did. Same with every other year, every other style. Same with you guys. So why don't we talk about boys being abused? Well, number one is our enculturated, indoctrinated definition of what it means to be a boy, a man, a male, a father, what it means to be a guy. And we have all these disparaging images all over the board. At least women have a certain different brain chemistry where they have a little bit better, they can blur the lines sometimes a little bit easier. It's not easier for women, but we can blur the lines a little bit so we see we're not as black and white, not as compartmentalized. And for boys, it's very rigid. Not as much for little girls and how they view the world, especially when it comes to fathers and mothers. So oftentimes when a little boy is abused, especially sexually, they themselves do not recognize it as abuse. You may start off with little ones talking about, you know, what's appropriate touch, what isn't appropriate touch. But we find in studies, and the American Academy of Pediatrics did a great study on looking at, I mentioned it yesterday, you can find the podcast at redboxmedia.podbean.com. It was yesterday, January 18th's podcast. Talked a lot about the study from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's a very reputable journal and also organization. But there was a study published where it was uniquely looked at. It just had not been done before. It was not shown in the literature. Looking at men from the ages of, I think, 19 to 94, and those who had been involved in teenage pregnancies, been the father a baby of a teenage mother. And some of those were some of those men and males were no longer teenagers. They could have been 19, they could have been 20, and perhaps the mother could have been 17, 18, or 19. But the fact is that it can be anywhere across the board. So they looked at these men and these boys, and what they found was that a very high percentage of them had been sexually abused, a very high percentage of them had been physically abused, and a very high percentage of them had witnessed their mother being battered. So these are some interesting commonalities. They could have one or all of those, and each of those was correlated with the likelihood of being involved in a teenage pregnancy. But we're going to talk about more on the other side of the break and why we don't talk about boys being abused. This is Dr. Michelle. You can email me, drmichellelive@redboxmedia.com. See you on the other side of the break. Make a toast to me coming.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Michelle. I'd like to welcome you back to Dr. Michelle Live. You can email me, drmichellelive at breadboxmedia.com, or you can call 573-4BREAD-4. You can request to be anonymous. You can have your thoughts, questions, comments, anything. Just message, instant messaged over to me by the person who answers the phone. So there's all sorts of ways to anonymously get your thoughts heard, get your questions asked. One of these things is that that causes the most damage. One of the problems is that it's done in the dark and it's done in loneliness, so that people, especially boys and men, are very afraid to talk about their early traumatic experiences. They just don't go there. And I'm going to get into right now of why that is. Number one, they don't self-recognize their experience as abuse. And this is one of the kind of conundrums. It's hard enough, and I've talked about this before, and we can talk about it again, because we women have experiences that are absolutely abusive, sexually abusive, and physically abusive, emotionally abusive, mentally abusive. And we do not know how to recognize them, especially the sexually less explicit abuse that happens to a lot of girls, as we talked about yesterday. Some girls that will report being right in the middle of a classroom with all the other students and having a teacher walk by and inappropriately touch them when the other kids are facing forward. And they don't know, they just don't do anything with that. They just go on. The bell rings or whatever happens, and they get an assignment, and they just go on and play with their friends, or they're talking with their girlfriends, and they find out that on the way home from babysitting, that the father touched them. The father asked them to do something of the person they were babysitting. So it is a common thing to happen in girls' lives. And what we don't, and we need to stop it. We need to identify it. We need to speak it. We need to be able to say it. And it hurts to go there. It really hurts to go there because you feel stupid, ashamed. I should have known better. I should have said something. It was my fault. That all comes into it. It's all how we are indoctrinated in life. That's number one. The victim is the cause oftentimes. That has been huge historically in our country with women and rape. The girl brought it on. They brought it on. Something they did brought it on. They shouldn't have been so provocative. They shouldn't have been so sexy. They shouldn't have dressed a certain way. They shouldn't have been drinking. They shouldn't have been drunk. They shouldn't have been this. They shouldn't have been that. So the victim gets to the point where they are so downtrodden, ashamed before they even open their mouths. And they know that opening their mouths means a long haul. I have known many a woman who has inappropriately sexually advanced upon at the workplace. And the one or two that have said something, they've got a long, hard road. And oftentimes they end up finding a different place of employment, but they at least live with themselves. I always ask myself, when faced with a difficult situation that may not go well, what will happen if I don't say something? How will I feel about myself if I am right, or if I need to do this to help protect someone else, and I don't say, and I remain silent? What's the worst that can happen? Sometimes it's the little brother or sister can be harmed. Sometimes it's that you may save somebody. If you don't ask that question, they often say, sometimes they even say in medicine, don't ask the next question because you don't know what you'll find out. So, and it's not, that's almost like a joke, but it really isn't. In other words, if someone comes in for a sore throat, you don't want to work them up for everything in the book because you might find something. And not that you might find something that will help them, but you might be led down many rabbit holes. This is the danger that we have when we bring this stuff up. But boys especially, there's no outlet for them. Books written for little girls that help them in some ways be able to speak up, be able to recognize what's appropriate and what's inappropriate. It still doesn't save them, but there aren't that many outlets for boys. So oftentimes those little boys do not recognize it as sexual abuse. They just don't know any better. They just don't know. Or if they're asked to touch somebody a certain place, or they're touched themselves, or if they're in situations that make them feel uncomfortable because certain things are said or done. Now let's talk about, I'm going to take a little aside here, but I want to talk about different kinds of abuse and going back to that harming of the little ones. If you harm anyone to turn them away from God, then you got some big answering to do. Now that goes for everybody. But the more responsibility you have, the greater responsibility you have. The more that you're given, the greater responsibility. So there's a group of people who are led on a very religious, I won't say what religion it is, but they're led every year on a religious pilgrimage, not a pilgrimage, but I can't think of the right word, so I'll just say pilgrimage. But it is going to a different country, helping with the poor, helping bring them God, helping them build and get clean water and do this and do that. Maybe get some medical care. So it's great. And it's one married man's mission to do this. And he takes young men, takes them to these places. And they do their job. Now, he doesn't do particularly anything to them, but on the way back, it is a usual, maybe not every time, but from someone who's traveled with them several times, I know, I didn't travel with them, but this is what I understand now, is that they are taken and to quote the, to get in a very poor area of a particular town in a particular country, they're taken to get massages as rewards for all the work they did. Well, those aren't massages. They are beyond that. Now, that in itself is for a young man who is old enough to go on one of these trips. It's mind-blowing. They may be there with the peer pressure. They may think it's all part of growing up. It may be fun. They may laugh about it. They may get drunk. They may do whatever. But they've just taken a person who goes down in innocence and comes back not only with all kinds of immorality and problems in their own self and perhaps some physical diseases, but they also come back with the confusion of someone who was supposed to be like a brother, like a father, and even more so, who has accolades in the community for being such a good, good person and who really does help all these other people. It's confusing for that person, for that child, that adolescent, that teenager. All right, so that's an aside, but you see how these things can fit together. We may not think about that as abuse. The person didn't directly abuse that any given individual, but they gave them an exposure to an abuse, an exposure to something that actually harms them and will harm the mission, will harm the faith in God and in God's ministry. It'll harm everything. So oftentimes boys don't recognize what's happening to them as abuse, especially now if it happens with, let's say, a trusted aunt or grandmother. I have heard that story. Oftentimes, a trusted grandmother who will exploit and abuse a male child or a female child, grandchild. And it takes years. In fact, the person oftentimes never speaks of it until they are adults, until they're married themselves, till they're in their 30s or 40s. And then they finally speak of it. So that is not uncommon. So if you are one of those people who have a family, who think you've gotten beyond it, who 40, 50 years of age, and yet that's down in there, that is an infection in you. That is something that has shaped you in a way that is still harming you today. It's time to think about it. It's time to talk about it. Not time to dwell in it, but time to get help with it. Because it is a matter of when you say it and you put it out there, you realize the world doesn't fall apart. Nobody dies. Nobody goes down a road that they never can get back from. You realize that other people have undergone the same thing, maybe a little bit different situation, but the same thing. And you realize that, yes, it does do damage. You're not weak or defective, and that damage was done. Even though you think, well, that was way back then. I've already passed. I've forgiven them. I've confessed it. But you may not have gotten rid of the infection. You may not have gotten rid of the pain. So this is where we're trying to go to. We want to, one, prevent it from happening in your children, but we also want it to be recognized in you so that you can approach it in your children's and your children's children's life in such a way that the thing that happened to you does not happen to them. This is Dr. Michelle. We will see you on the other side of the break.
These are the days that I will remember when my name's called on the road. Don't leave me with two long-stemmed glasses. Make a toast to me.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Okay, well, welcome back. This is Dr. Michelle. You are listening to Dr. Michelle Live. You can email me, Dr. Michelle Live at breadboxmedia.com, and you can call 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. So, we are talking about boys being abused and why it is so difficult to recognize and talk about it. Well, number one was that oftentimes the boys and young men themselves do not recognize what has happened to them as abuse. Number two, a peer and adult pressure from the world around us, as we talked about in the beginning, our culture, we are just indoctrinated with what it means to be a man. And it gets funneled down that any sex is good sex. Any sexual experience a boy would not have a problem with. There are songs, there were songs 20 years ago about young boys going home and having sex with their friends' mothers. So we have this out in our culture. I've heard them. This was like 20 some years ago. It's too much. It's too much. And so somehow that's looked at in the old, that old Mrs. Robinson, I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was an old movie. The whole idea of someone's first sexual experience being, and the 1950s had movies the same way, of mom's best friend or mother's sister, the wild aunt or whatever. It could be somebody's fantasy, but that has been indoctrinated into our world. And we like to look the other way. We can't even imagine thinking that it is my sister, my aunt, my grandmother, my mother. We can't even begin to go down those paths in our heads. And yet this is a very common thing. And I've heard it from all sides. Thank you, Lennon, or one of the producers out there. It's The Graduate was the old movie from the 60s that there was a Simon and Garfunkel song about it. And it was very, it's kind of like it was coming of age. And somehow coming of age was having intimate relations with somebody else's mother. So not necessarily a good thing. So I shouldn't say not necessarily. It's not a good thing, all right? So many of the fathers of these young boys also are so inappropriately sexualized in our culture that they don't even the nicest, and I mean this sincerely, the nicest, kindest, loving fathers. I've seen many of them in the, let's say, 30s and 40s age group who are now having their sons are now maybe 13, 14 years old. And I hear them, Catholics, Christian, they're ball games. I see this often. I'm an observer. Be an archaeologist and an anthropologist in your own hometown. Take a look. Perk out your ears. If I was just 20 years younger, I'd date her. Or, gee, that's sure a little haughty. I mean, I hear Catholic men saying this to their teenage boys, or the boys that come over, they're playing games, and dad comes in and is talking about the hot chick. Well, that may be funny, you may laugh, you may feel like it's giving you a camaraderie, but in some respects, it's blurring the lines. It is taking away from the mother in the household, and if there is no mother in the household, if it's a house of divorce, or if it's a house where somebody died, it is causing some confusion. There needs to be lines. If you say that with your friends or whatever you choose to do and other 30 or 40 year old males, that's one thing, but it is not appropriate to be going there with your 12 and 13 year old son or your 12 and 13 year old daughter. Sometimes that happens too, where the young girls come in with their friends and dad thinks it's funny and cute to say, you know, hey, if I was just 20 years younger. Well, that's not a cute thing to say. Now, actually, I hate to tell y'all, but behind the closed doors, they're all looking at each other like, ew. You know, the girls are like, you know, putting their fingers down their throats, and the guys are, you know, kind of rolling their eyes because they want their own identity. They don't want the same. They don't want to be, they're not dad's buddy buddy. You know, they don't want to be dad's drinking partner. They want to have a dad. They need a dad, and you need to be that dad. So oftentimes there's that little, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod from dad. And meanwhile, mom's some other entity. Mother is a sexless entity. And what I mean by that is that a father and a mother, ideally, this is why self-help books abound and counselors abound and people need confession, because that we don't live the ideal. We do. None of us do. We do not live the ideal. But ideally, the woman in the household, the mother, the wife, should be the point person of affection, the point person of kindness and understanding, the point person of engendering a break. Now, in that study that I talked about yesterday from the American Academy of Pediatrics, if a man, a young boy, witnesses his mother being battered, physically battered, and I'm not so sure about, I would be willing to bet, but this has to be studied, emotionally or verbally battered, and it probably has been studied, so we'll check that out, that they are more likely, something like 11-12%, 10%, that's a big percentage in our world now, they're more likely to be impregnate a teenage girl. And they don't have to be teenage boys to do this. They can be older, but they're more likely to impregnate a teenage girl if they have witnessed their own mothers being battered, yelled at, screamed at, minimized, demeaned, ignored, neglected, physically hit, pushed, shoved, screamed at, all those things. And we can neglect our own mothers and in our own households very easily, our own wives and mothers. So then the next thing, the number three is, it's also boys don't talk about this thing, these things, because in our world, it looks like a weakness. Well, who are you? What do you mean? No, that should be okay, or that's a weakness, or you must have done something. Just like little girls, you must have done something to bring this on. Because, or, and also just pure unadulterated disbelief. I think it's probably easier in our world, even though that goes unbelieved all the time. Little girls are told, no, you're making it up, you misunderstood, they would never do that. But even more so would it be for the little boy to say anything about the other, the female of the family or the neighborhood. It just doesn't come out that way. There's just a little bit of reverence there that just doesn't seem to get crossed, as much as it's very much easier for us, even though it gets ignored all the time. It's much easier for us as a culture to think about a man perpetrating against a female. And the other thing is that even in this day and age, the fear of, and especially in the more Christian groups, Catholic groups, the fear of homosexuality. A little child, as I've told you that story before, of someone who really carried around that they had had this homosexual experience with them, and it made them confused, as did another person who had a forced sexual encounter as a young adult, and they brought this as if they somehow that would be evidence that they are homosexual. And we aren't putting any judgment out here at all, but in a young man who is heterosexual, who's had this experience, who hears his friends talk, who doesn't understand what's what, shoves down this experience as if it is evidence of a gender question, when really it was abuse against them. So these are four or five of the reasons, the most likely reasons why we do not talk about boys abused, and why we need to start looking at that and really keeping that in our in our minds, you parents and also you men who have had these things happen to you, because it does affect you. It affects you now. It affects the way that you bring up your own children. It affects your relationships, because at the very least, it interferes with all sexual abuse and all childhood abuse, all emotional, all mental, all physical abuse interferes with our abilities, men and women, girls and boys, to have intimate relationships, because it shocks, it blows up, it destroys, but not quite destroy. So I don't want to take that word back, but it really, really, really blows up and lays waste to trust. Trust a child should have in his outside world. A child needs that order. He needs to know dad is this person. Dad will always be consistent. Mother is this person. Dad is not the sweet man in the pew and is screaming at mom at home behind closed doors. Or are you as parents singling out one child? One child is always the storyteller, is always the one who's making things up. You have to watch what you do in your own families. And look and see and believe. And part of that is coming to grips with your own denial. Because once you start allowing that denial to dissolve in yourself, and you start seeking appropriate help through counselors, good counselors, and acknowledging some of these things to yourself, then you can open up and your eyes will be cleared. I promise you this. All right, this is Dr. Michelle. We will continue this tomorrow. You can email me, drmichellelive@breadboxmedia.com, and we can go down this path a little bit further. And on any old path that you want, you just give me an email, give me a suggestion, a comment, or a question. And this is Dr. Michelle. We will see you on the other side of the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Michelle. And those of you who are listening live, I just ended my program saying, see you tomorrow. And I had somehow heard a third segment, meaning I think Lennon, one of our producers, was saying you're going into the third segment. But I just heard a third segment as I'm looking over some statistics here. And just assume that we were done. All right, so we're not done. This is great, because I thought we have things we need to get to and we weren't able to get to them. So we're talking about men and boys and men, why you don't talk about your abuse as children. Part of that is not being able to recognize it as abuse, being part of our culture, which says all sex is good sex, listening to music throughout life, whether you were allowed to or not, you're exposed to it about going over to your friend's house after school and having sex with your friend's mother. The fantasies that come up that are just every day, they're joked about on sitcoms. Maybe your own father, or maybe you've turned into that father who gives a nod and a nudge to the 13-year-old girl who comes home with your daughter, or what you think is all innocent play, making you think that you're one of the guys, or that you're being cool, or being befriending them, saying, you know, gee, if I were 20 years younger or 30 years younger, I'd be dating you. Or same with the boy. Oh, don't you like that little hottie over there? I have heard this at Catholic school soccer games and football games and baseball games, and during the time when they're over at the house with their friends gaming, dad walks in and says stuff like that. or they're watching a football game. They're all into athletics and sports, but there's always a comment about those cheerleaders. It's not an appropriate place for the dad. It's what you do if you do that and you do it with your friends, you know, that's what you do. But you have to realize that you are always on. You're like a celebrity. You are always on. The paparazzi is your children. They're looking for anything to say, are you real? Are you real? So you have a huge responsibility. Now, if you were in a situation where all the lines were blurred, or you yourself had sexual abuse as a child through an instructor, a coach, a priest, a pastor, a singing instructor, the guy down the street, an uncle, an aunt, a grandmother. These are all people I have heard about who have perpetrated upon other people, a commanding officer, a male commanding officer, a female commanding officer, a mother, an aunt. I mean, really, it's as many as jobs out there and as many as ages as you can imagine. There are abusers out there. There are predators waiting for prey. If you go to a picnic, do you ever think that there's not going to be some predator for your piece of cake or your hamburger? Everything from an ant to a hawk, they're all going to be there, or a raccoon, some, or bear. They're big, little, just completely destructive, or just a little destructive, mold. I mean, they're out there. We live in a predatorial world. And none of us get by unscathed. Some more than others. Some get harmed more than others. But we're trying to grow this world. We're trying not to be, as someone said the other day, that bad person that hands down to their children's children, and their children's children's children, all those generations, sins of the fathers. And you may do it through no fault of your own. You may do it because you were the one that was harmed. The point now, though, is wake up. If you're one of those people, if you hear yourself at all, time to get a little help. And when you turn around, the wonderful thing about God having no time and God and God's forgiveness is that when you turn around, even if you can't undo what was done in the past, I was reading today in Mark about the leper. And the leper said, will you heal me? And Jesus felt sorry for them. He goes, of course I'll heal you. Yes, I want to heal you. And then he said, go be cleansed, or be cleansed, but don't tell anybody. Show the priests. And that had three or four very great images in it for me. One was a leper. All the stuff that we feel on the inside was shown on the outside. It was a very real disease, still is a very real disease. But it was a pretty devastating disease where there were no antibiotics, nothing. They had to go to leper colonies. And it was very disfiguring, very awful. And you just didn't stand a chance with that disease. And Jesus felt very sad for them and for this man and said, yes, I will. Of course I will do this for you. Didn't ask him any questions about himself. Just, I will do this. And the other statement was that he left Jesus and was cured. So he didn't just stand there and then boom, but he left him and he was cured. So after the realization, after the encounter, then he left Jesus' sight. And after leaving is when he was cured. He left and he was cured. And don't tell anybody, don't use your mouth to talk about it or say these things. But show the priest, show them. So in other words, with your new cure, your new cleanliness, show the world, show your wife, show your children, show yourself that the thing that was rotting the way the internal flesh inside of you, those secrets, those pains from things you didn't understand and you didn't have control over, that those things can be not only cleanse, but they can change your family's life and your life and open up doors of intimacy that you never knew possible because they were shut so long ago. But they may take a lot of time, a lot of time. May not. Depends on your particular situation. Maybe you've lost everything because that lack of intimacy caused you to lose everything and you didn't understand why. Something that happened so long ago didn't even make a difference. We hear that all the time. Well, I dealt with that a long time ago. Doesn't bother me now. That was that. It does change us. It really does. So when we look at the fact that boyhood exposure to physical or sexual abuse or to a battered mother is increased, is associated with an increased risk of involvement in teenage pregnancy, abuse, being abusive yourself, perhaps not being, maybe being very codependent, not being able to sustain intimate relationships or stand up for yourself, even. You are now a constant, perpetual victim in some respects, even if just in the workplace. You may have aberrant or unusual sexual demands or tastes that can happen when people are or have difficulty in your intimate relationships with your spouse. But we have to understand that there's 500,000 every year, 500,000 teenage pregnancies. And if the boys that are, if a good 20% at least, and probably a lot more, that are involved in those teenage pregnancies were abused by themselves, and then those babies are going on. We're talking about a big phenomena here. So it is a very important place to begin this discussion, because we want those things, those infections in you, we want them to be diagnosed and treated. We want them to come to the surface. We want to see what's ailing you. And we want you to be able to live a much happier, freer life. Because if nothing else, you may end up in a cycle of dependency, codependency, addiction, perhaps, whether it's a substance or an abuse cycle yourself. So we need to pay honor and acknowledge that what happened to you as a child really is important. It really does make a difference. And we were quoting yesterday that some of these studies involved surveys and questionnaires of people that were men up to 94 years of age. So these things don't go away. They don't go away. 80% of them, as I said yesterday, were white in these studies. So white males. Now, we don't know what it is for the other ethnic groups, but my guess is it's the same. So we have to really, really look at that, and I really want you to. So I want you to think about that today. I want you to think about that. You're certainly welcome to email me about any experiences, any concerns, whether you think you might need to get some help, even if you think you are over it. And you are just a very successful macho type of guy who's taking care of everything. Those wounds run deep. And not everyone is harmed or a victim or a perpetrator who experiences those things. People rise above all the time. And they separate themselves and they are determined and they do live much better lives than what has ever been happened to them. But I think it's important because we do not want to ignore those very same things that might happen to our own children, our own boy children, our own male children. So the impact of that abuse is as negative or maybe sometimes even more so because it remains so hidden in boys than it is in girls, just as it is in girls. We need to take these things very seriously as the lines get more and more blurred in the 2016s of the earth and forward. So let's make it a priority to have that scrupulous self-honesty, to take a look inside, get the help we need with good counselors who know about adult children of abuse, adult children of alcoholics, adult children of sexual abuse. And don't be afraid, especially if it was someone the family held very, very dear. All right, this is Dr. Michelle. We will see you tomorrow.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.